by 200,000 plus votes. That's a big kick for the Republicans, yes. And they're having a hard time dealing with that.
Yes, they are. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Do you think, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser out with his opinion. And don't forget that he is one of the former justices tapped by Popcorn King Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to look at whether or not Justice Janet Protasiewicz should recuse herself. So he says no. He says there's no reason to do it. In order to justify that, she would have to have done a crime. She did not crime, as far as we know.
There's no corrupt conduct.
There's no corrupt conduct. She hasn't even been there long enough to do anything corrupt. Doesn't it take longer than that? Come on. So, when you go back to what Brian Hagedorn said about Planned Parenthood, what Rebecca Dallet said in some of her previous writings, if that was Bradley. Yeah, if that was okay, then why not this?
Then why not this? Of course. Heather Sawyer, the American Oversight's executive director, said this. Justice Prosser's opinion letter demonstrates why Speaker Voss's secret panel needs to operate in public. We still don't know everyone involved or what other work has been done, and will keep pressing to ensure that the people of Wisconsin have full transparency and accountability regarding the speaker's impeachment plans. We would not know this if not for American oversight. I don't think Prosser, he didn't release this, us as soon as he got it, right?
Right. Like, no, it was a FOIA request. It was an open records request. 844-967-2789 if you want to check in. We have Joe from Appleton on the phone. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
So, what do you think?
I think with Prosser's statement and with Voss's statement yesterday, where he didn't bring up impeachment, he did bring up taking it to the Supreme Court. I think he's signaling that they're going to back off impeachment, but they'll just try to appeal any negative ruling to SCOTUS. Good luck there. Which, yeah, I guess this is good news.
we're so grudging about it. Yes, okay, it's good. I know, but
well, the thing is, I wrote a song. I wrote and recorded a song. It was a parody of Richmond, north of Richmond. It was all about the Wisconsin GOP, and it was going to be steeped in this whole impeachment thing. And now it's kind of worthless. No one's going to care.
Oh, now you got to rewrite it, Joe. It's got new lyrics and stuff.
There's nothing much left. I mean, I was all set to record the video. I got a fake red beard and everything.
Oh.
I mean, this was going to be big. I was ready for the fame. And
Well, Joe, hang on to the tunes, man. Maybe you have to rewrite it. But the good news is these Republicans are still in control here, generally, in the state of Wisconsin, certainly in the legislature. And it won't be long before they're pushing us up against the precipice of another constitutional crisis. So just keep it in your back pocket, Joe. I'm sure next week will bring new tunes.
Otherwise, Joe, you can always send it to Greg Bach. We can put it into our bumper rotation.
There we go, man.
We're happy to do that.
No, it's worthless now. No one cares anymore. It's
just, Joe, believe in yourself.
Come on, you can do it, Joe.
Waste of time now.
Why are we here?
Hang in there, Joe. Thank you for calling.
All right, guys.
Have a great day. 844-967-2789. What do you think? Text and or call and let us know how you feel about the former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser coming out with his opinion that newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz should not recuse herself from the Fair Maps conversation. I think this is good.
Impeachment is so serious, severe, and rare that it should not be considered unless the subject has committed a crime or the subject has committed indisputable corrupt conduct while in office.
And there is no proof of that. There is no proof of that.
I'm curious. And I would assume, since American Oversight, if this is a FOIA request, would have received everything. So are there any other opinions? Are there any other Supreme Court justices that have, you know, given their take on
right.
it? Love to hear that.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear someone come on. I'd like to hear Voss or some other Republican say, no, Prosser's totally wrong, and here's why.
Yeah.
If you don't hear that, he's right. Because he's right. Of course he's right.
844-967-2789. We are going to break. We'll take your calls and your texts when we come back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Surfing the dial, you found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
K.
Jane Madner in for Kristen Bry. Greg is on the board. Dominic Salvia, my co-host on Tuesdays, while Kristen is out on maternity leave. And we're always happy to hear from you at 844-967-2789. Starting out the conversation this morning, talking about former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser coming out with his opinion that Justice Janet should not recuse herself from a case about instituting fair maps in Wisconsin. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this suspicious? Because he didn't, like Dominic pointed out before the break, you said, it's not like he turned this over voluntarily to the public. It was an open records request by an oversight group. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think it's good. At least it's something. But I'm always suspicious now of when things do not go the GOP's way, they find a way around it.
We're well, a little PTSD.
Let's write a new law that will supersede, you know, what we just said to work in our favor. So what do you think? 844-967-2789. Texter from the 262 says, Prosser coming out with that statement just means we're on a countdown until Voss and the rest of the lunatic fringe of the GOP start calling him a rhino. That does seem to be kind of the go-to.
Well, he was primaried, right? Adam Steen, I think the guy.
Right. For Robin Voss.
And Trump supported Robin Voss's primary opponent. Robin Voss won by, less than 200 votes in his district?
Just squeaked by.
The Republican Party's in disarray, Jane.
Well, that's what I've heard.
I mean, to me, it feels like if Robin Voss doesn't come out for impeachment, I think this might be something he led so hard on a couple weeks ago. If he doesn't come out for this and he doesn't try to push back in some way, shape, or form, he is. I don't want to say he's out, but it's not going to be easy that next election. It's going to be even more. Those Republicans in that district are going to go after him.
You think they'll be very, very unhappy about this?
I think they'll be unhappy. I think they'll see him as weak. I think they'll see him as a rhino. I think they'll see him as everything that he doesn't want to be viewed as, because he needs to retain that power, because the popcorn king rules all.
The crown is heavy of the popcorn king.
Yeah, it's kind of light. I just made out of popcorn, man.
The crown is light and fluffy with a nice buttery taste.
844-967-2789 if you want to check in on this. We're going to continue this probably after 10:33. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area, so we will recombobulate, and there's a big column with a guest writer about this very issue that you know this person, Greg Bach, the writer of Sachin.
Oh, Sachin Shetta, yes. Yes, I do. Sachin is a very good man, very good man.
So we will be talking about that after the bottom of the hour break when Dan Schaefer joins us. Fascists never take a day off, says John from the Falls. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Again, I just think there's a lot of suspicion whenever it seems like something is going the Democrats' way.
Well, like, I mean, it's rightfully so. It's a little PTSD. Look at how things have gone over the last 15 years in the state of Wisconsin. You can kind of, you know, I'm totally there. Always, you know, keep your head on a swivel. Okay, this one seems to be going our way, seems to be going justly, which is our way usually, right? But what's the next shoe to drop? What's the next angle? Governor Evers spoke up. Molly Beck, also with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, writing on this piece, updating her piece. Yesterday it came out entitled, Robin Voss Now Silent on Impeachment, after former justice tells him not to pursue. Here's what Tony Evers had to say yesterday, the governor from the state of Wisconsin, quote, impeaching is just a really horrible imposition on our democracy. I'm hopeful that they won't do it. We can discuss strategies at some time when we know what they are going to do. It's an attack on our democracy, and it just shouldn't happen. David, former Justice David Prosser, agreeing with our current Republican, current Democratic governor, Tony Evers.
Yeah, that which is just crazy.
And yesterday we were agreeing with Glenn Grothman and Robin Voss. You know, here's the thing is, we talk about the, we're like, we want compromise, we want to agree. And then the moment we do, we're like, ugh, this feels awful.
How can this be happening? You know what I mean? It's just so out of the ordinary that something comes out that is not cuckoo crazy.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, don't they run out of cards up their sleeves? You know what I mean? Sooner or later, you got to be responding to the electorate. Sooner or later, you got to follow the law. Sooner or later, you know what I'm saying? Don't they kind of run out of steam? And it seems like that's kind of where we're getting to.
Do you think so?
I do.
I think they have many decks.
Many decks?
I think they have many decks up their sleeves. And the ability to cheat or go around or write new laws to keep things in their court.
Yeah, but with a Democratic governor and now a liberal-leaning Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, this is why the desperation.
For sure.
You talk about impeaching someone for no reason. I mean, that's it. And this isn't like, oh, you impeach Donald Trump, we're going to impeach Joe Biden. We can get there as well. But that's that mentality. Oh, absolutely nothing wrong. You just got your ass handed to you in an election. And now you're afraid that we're going to get some more re-representative maps. Not even exactly even, because, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
That's all we're looking for is a fair shot. And they're going to struggle. Of course they're going to fight against it tooth and nail.
Well, and as Kristen had said, and we've had many guests on who have reinforced this as well, even if we do get fairer maps, there is no guarantee that the Democrats are going to sweep in and take everything.
No.
And I don't think most Wisconsin residents want that. Most Wisconsinites just don't like people who cheat.
I think most Wisconsinites want representative government.
And representatives who actually have to respond to their phone calls and their letters and, yes, and do things, I don't know, it's crazy, that their constituents want.
Constituent services? What?
844-967-2789. When we come back, we're recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Please stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is on the line against Iowa. Our coverage begins at 1 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 52. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 38 tonight. Overcast skies, mainly cloudy. Tomorrow, 58. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday and Friday. Mid-50s Thursday, low 50s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
As goes Wisconsin, Jane Matmeer in for Kristen Bry. Gregory Buck is on the board. Dominic Salvia is my co-host on Tuesdays while Kristen is out. And every Tuesday at 10:30, we recombobulate. You know that because of that musical intro. Dan Schaefer is joining us this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Dan.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you. If you dipped in a little bit earlier, we were talking about the news this morning. Scott Bauer in the Associated Press with an article that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser, his opinion on whether or not current and newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz should recuse herself from a redistricting issue, and he had to turn over an email because it was an open records request. And basically, he says, no, she should not recuse. There's no reason for her to recuse. No. And you have a kind of a companion article in the recombobulation area, correct?
Yeah, we published a guest column late Sunday night, sent it out on Monday morning from Sachin Chetta, who was part of the Proto Saywitz campaign. He's been active in a number of Fair Maps related groups over the years. And the title of the piece is The Right-Wing Recusal Fairy Tale. So he took a look at the dissent from Rebecca Bradley late last Friday. You know, part of the Wisconsin hallmark of a Friday news dump, finding out about, you know, Janet Protasiewicz not recusing and whether or not the Wisconsin Supreme Court would take up that redistricting case. So in the dissent, Rebecca Bradley quoted Alice in Wonderland saying we're through the looking glass. And so Sachin wrote this piece kind of in some ways in response to that and saying, and I'll quote right from it here. If you read Justice Rebecca Bradley's dissent, she invokes Alice in Wonderland, but it is in her dissent in which you do indeed go through the looking glass. You know, it really breaks down how different rules have been applied differently, regardless of who voted for you, right? I mean, you know, there are a number of examples for the three conservative justices on the court where maybe they should recuse, maybe they haven't, maybe they have imposed different standards based on who is bringing cases before them. But clearly, I think, you know, we're starting to see more and more that there is no reason for Janet Protasiewicz to recuse, no reason to impeach. This whole thing is ridiculous. And I think the redistricting case should just go forward.
I think it's fascinating, as you just pointed out, that depending upon who is bringing the case before the court, who is supportive of this case, that changes everything when you're a Republican. And I mean, none of them have ever recused for anything, have they?
No. And I think there was, you know, there are even examples of Chief Justice Annette Ziegler's husband being involved with a case brought forth by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. You know, as Sachin points out in the piece, that the recusal rule that was adopted by these right-wing justices yeah. is regularly referred to as the WMC recusal rule.
Oh, so, ouch.
Clearly, they are applying some different standards to different members of the court in this case.
Do you feel, and Greg just posited this before the break, do you feel that if Robin Voss does not move forward with this, that he's going to pay amongst his own party?
You know, I'm not sure, because I think the backlash to the impeachment threats were so overwhelming and brought the national attention, brought the fundraising campaign from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. You know, does he want to put every last member of his gerrymandered majority in the Wisconsin State Assembly under the microscope when it comes to this particular issue? I don't know. And is the appetite for it the same in the Wisconsin State Senate as it is in the Assembly? That we don't know either. We're seeing them kind of diverge on a number of key issues lately, which I think has been interesting to see. So, you know, the Senate seems more focused on getting rid of Megan Wolf, whereas Robin Voss and the Assembly seem a little bit more focused on, you know, the impeachment threats.
Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Dan, the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss mentioned, well, you know, this will go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and ultimately this will be cited by then. Is he talking specifically? And I wasn't clear. I just want to get your opinion. Do you think he's talking about the redistricting case itself? That if these four liberal justices said they're going to take it up, they rule against this case, that Voss or someone's going to take it up to the U.S. Supreme Court? What was your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's what he's done in the past. So I think that was, you know, that when we look back to, you know, kind of a strange process through the appeals process through that landed us with the maps that we have right now, that the U.S. Supreme Court did weigh in on this and they did rule essentially, you know, overturning some things to impose the conservative past, Republican past maps that we had for the last election. But, you know, I talked to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward in an interview not too long ago, and he noted that when that happened, when those cases were brought to the U.S. Supreme Court, that Justice Roberts specifically invited parties in extremely gerrymandered states like Wisconsin to take their cases to the state Supreme Court. So that is why Law Forward is bringing their case to the state Supreme Court, because the U.S. Supreme Court said that that's what they should do. Now, you know, Robin Voss, I'm sure, is well within his rights to bring these cases forward and make appeals and see what possibilities might lie out there for him. But this process is undergoing now. I think, you know, it would be happening whether or not Protasiewicz won that election, because the U.S. Supreme Court ruled to say that these cases should not, on redistricting and on gerrymandering, should not be brought to federal court in terms of state legislative maps. They should be brought to state courts. And that's what's happening.
And I just want to remind folks as well that when Robin Voss and the Republicans came forward with their map plan that they did again in the middle of, they love middle of the night meetings. They're just, they must love staying up late and having snacks and doing their work when no one else is around and just, well, you know, no public input and stuff like that. It's just so much, it speeds up the process. But anyway, when they presented the plan that they came up with, it is not the Iowa model, because they still built in ways for the Republican-led legislature to toss whatever maps are come out in their own favor. So it's not like this was a good faith effort by the Republicans. I just don't think it is.
Yeah, I wrote about that when it happened in a column at the Recombobulation Area, and the headline for it was that this effort was desperate and deceitful. So I wrote, Robin Voss's maps gambit is desperate and deceitful. And I think, you know, you're seeing, since there was no public hearing, it was rushed through. We didn't know all the full details of what was in it. There were amendments being passed in the middle of the night when that, you know, I happened to be one of those people who was watching so that they wouldn't be doing this with no one watching. But I think it was, you know, I think it was interesting too, that the Senate, again, the Republican-controlled Senate has no interest in taking up this redistricting bill either, this Iowa model either. You know, passed through the Assembly, they have their large majorities, passed on a party-line vote. Usually what happens next is if the Senate was interested in taking it up, they would have a public hearing on it, they would have an executive session, it would go through the normal process. That hasn't happened. So I don't think the appetite for this is there in the Senate. This bill was a Swiss cheese bill with a whole bunch of holes in it that even idiots like me could find in short notice. And clearly there's just not the appetite to do this. So why would Democrats, you know, essentially bail out Robin Voss in this scenario when he doesn't even have the support of the people in the same party in the upper chamber of the Wisconsin state legislature? So it seems like it's going nowhere.
Dan, I wonder if this is the result of greater voter citizen participation. We look at the results of the election, record turnout. Protasiewicz won by over 200,000 votes. We know when they started talking about this, people are on the phones calling their senators, calling their legislators. You know, Ben Wickler, chair of the Dem Party here in the state of Wisconsin, they announced, you know, a fundraiser to start spending money to target specific folks. It seems like when we as a citizenry get more engaged, some of the malfeasance of the Republicans is kept at bay a bit. What's your take?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think the more attention we can pay to this, the more the more light we shine in what's happening with Robin Voss and the Wisconsin state legislature, the better, because they are often doing horrible things. And so, you know, that's why I so often focus so much of my coverage at the Recombobulation Area on the Wisconsin state legislature, because it is the most important governing body in Wisconsin, and it is run by folks like Robin Voss, who do not have the best interest of Wisconsinites at heart.
Absolutely.
And I think that effort that the Wisconsin Democrats engaged with to defend justice and really, you know, putting the spotlight not just on Robin Voss, but on the rest of the caucus, too. I think that's what often happens. You know, Robin Voss is seems comfortable going to the media and lying to them and doing his whole circus and throwing tantrums, but that shields the rest of his caucus from ever having to answer for anything. So I think it was a really smart approach by Ben Wickler and the state party by making it not just Robin Voss, because it is the, you know, 60 plus members of the assembly. It is the 20 plus members of the state Senate who will have to answer for this. It's not just Voss.
For sure. And I think it's important as well that we continue to highlight. It just seems the constant going against the will of the voters by the Republican Party in Wisconsin. We have broad support for fair maps in Wisconsin. We have broad support for increased background checks and red flag laws. We have broad support for abortion access. We have broad support for so many.
Legalized marijuana.
Legalized marijuana, medical marijuana. And again, they just stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 I don't care. This is what we know better. We know what's better for you. We know best.
But let's tell you how to raise your children.
Exactly. And what books they can and cannot read and what kind of medical treatment they can get. 844-967-2789. Just one real quick text that came in from Wes from Middleton. I think Voss is screwed either way. If they try to impeach, I think it will cost them dearly in the long run.
I see that. That was my point, is that I think we're looking at it from the point of view of strategery, but I'm talking about like the people in Robin Voss's district who have grown weary of him, who don't care of the consequences. Like, he's thinking of the consequences, but like, they're like, get him out. And if he doesn't do this and they want it, consequences be damned, and they'll just toss him out. And who knows what we'll get, what's style or steel, whatever his name is.
Well, and that's Steen. Well, Adam
exactly. Steen. Adam Steen. Yeah. Exactly. You got it.
Yeah. His replacement could be far worse and far more radical. But that is the first close challenge that Robin Voss has had probably in ever.
Well, I think, too, it's, you know, there's a calculation here that he has to make, because the backlash to the impeachment threats have been immense. But also at the same time, the gerrymandered maps are his skeleton key to holding power in Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections they lose. Like, you talked about all the examples, Jane, of, you know, policies that Wisconsin is so extreme on. That's possible because of the maps. That's possible because Robin Voss is still holding out all the cards. And so he has governed like Wisconsin is a far right red state when we are anything but. And so you have all these issues, marijuana legalization, Medicaid expansion, you know, go on through the list, that we are more closely aligned to like Alabama on than our moderate Midwestern neighbors. And I think, you know, that just isn't sustainable in the long run. I just don't think it can be.
And don't forget, they also wanted permitless concealed carry in Wisconsin, which we don't want for the most part. All right, Dan Schaefer is going to be with us when we come back on the other side of the break. Wonderful piece in the recombobulation area comparing the Pfizer Forum deal with the proposed AmFam financing deal. Ooh. That is coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. And
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Fox, Soup Fan, is on the board. Dominic Salvia, my every Tuesday co-host while Kristen is off. And every Tuesday at 10:30, he joins us from the wonderful recombobulation area. Dan Schaefer is here. And Dan, you did a really extensive piece comparing the deals that were set up financially for Fiserv Forum compared to AmFam Field. So what are some of the bigger takeaways from that article?
Yeah, so, you know, we're having this debate about stadium funding, and I think so often this debate can happen in the abstract. And I say, well, do we want to give money to wealthy owners? Well, no, but okay, so let's figure out the state owns the stadium in a lot of these. So let's figure out what the path forward is. And I think, you know, if you look back to the stadium deal that passed in 2015 to fund the construction of Fiserv Forum, I think there's a lot we can learn from it to inform, you know, a potential deal for American Family Field. So I broke down, you know, the public cost, the state level funding, the county level funding, the city level funding, you know, and I think there are some really key commonalities, but I think there are some really important differences when you look at the two deals as well, especially on the local level, especially as it applies to the city of Milwaukee. And I think, you know, some of the parts of the state deal wanting to, you know, calculate how much players and team personnel are paying in income taxes, use that money to fund the construction of the deal, construction of the stadium and all that. But I think the city portion, I think, is really interesting because the city of Milwaukee ultimately passed a $47 million tax incremental financing package that not only helped fund the construction of the arena, but funded the construction of the Deer District as well. So they closed down part of what was then 4th Street. You know, there was a kind of a land sale for a city-owned parking lot. But I think the development around the arena is one of the key differences between the American Family Field proposal and the Fiserv Forum proposal. And it is that is completely absent, really, from the American Family Field proposal. The Brewers are clinging to the tailgate culture of the 12,000 parking spots that they have around American Family Field, have not to this point been particularly receptive to new ideas like what we published last year at the recombobulation area on the Beer District, things like that. So I think that is one of the key differences. And it was ultimately a $12 million loan that the city passed that funded the Deer District. And I think that portion of it has been remarkably successful thus far. And so I think that is the type of thing that we need to be talking about with this Brewers deal as it goes forward.
Well, and again, I understand the tailgate culture. I understand what a very important part of the game and that experience is to people. But I would still think that there could be some compromise with a number of spaces and allow some development to take the burden off of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, because maybe this is incorrect, but it certainly feels like, once again, the Republican-led legislature is like, whatever we do, let's make sure we stick it to Milwaukee.
Yeah, this deal definitely falls hardest on Milwaukee, I think, because, you know, the initial proposal was saying it was $200 million from the city and county combined. You know, I've been following this deal. I've been talking to people. That was never the actual number for what the proposal was going to be. It was just something that Robin Voss inflated at the last minute before.
What?
Yeah, I know. What? Hard to believe.
He is not truthful with the public.
It is something that he inflated. And now we got the headlines last week after the public hearing saying, oh, Milwaukee's portion is reduced. Well, those headlines were completely by design by Robin Voss, and so many in the local media played into it, unfortunately.
Want to mark it up 1,000% and discount it 50%. Look at the deal you got.
Exactly. So now it looks like Robin Voss and state Republicans are making concessions to Milwaukee, and understand, which is not what's happening at all. So $130 million is what's still there from the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, taken straight out of the shared revenue that was just renegotiated for the state to you know, basically save the city and county from potential bankruptcy. And now they're coming back for more from that shared revenue pie. I think we have to, you know, if there are going to be changes to get this deal over the finish line, and I think they're going to need Democratic votes to get this over the finish line, because that was the case with Fiserv Forum. Not every state Republican wants to spend this type of money. for the stadium deal, I think they're going to need to lessen the burden on local taxpayers. And I think they can do that in a number of ways. They can just, they could just reduce it overall, but they could bring in things like a ticket surcharge. That's part of the Fiserv Forum deal. That's one of the things that I looked at with this $2 ticket surcharge for all events at Fiserv Forum, projected to generate $60 million over the course of the 30-year lease.
Wow.
That could certainly lessen the burden on the local taxpayers and put the burden on the people who are, you know, they're paying to see games and things like that. So I think that should be, you know, part of the deal going forward. They were resistant to that too. They said they wanted to have the ticket surcharge, but only for non-Brewer games at the stadium. Which
I'm a Brewer fan. Charge me more.
There's how many of those non-Brewer events a year for this? I mean, it's a ridiculous
point. Well, and now they're talking about the winterization of the place, and which, I mean, it might make sense in the long run. If you can run it year round, that's great. But just make a deal.
$25 million for winterization, though. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to ask for maybe someday possibly getting a Taylor Swift concert, because that was kind of what they were saying.
Yeah, but is it really that much when you're able to put up your mansion in Los Angeles at 20,000 square feet for $73 million? Is $25 million that much? I still think that those guys could kick in a little more. I really do.
That's Shane's favorite stat.
It annoys me.
It's like, hey, I found the local money. There it is.
There it is. Right there it is. Hey, Dan, real quick before we run out of time, I know you looked at the funding different ways. How does one look at this as a return on investment, an ROI? You know, at the other side of the equation, how do we determine what if this is worth it or not?
Yeah, and you know, there are so many of these studies about the economic impact of arenas and things like that. The reason I wrote it this way in comparing it to the Fiserv Forum deal is because we've been here. We've seen the results for the last 8 years. And I think a lot of people would argue that this has been a largely effective deal in a lot of ways, but only because it was done right. And I think so far, the AmFam deal has not been done right.
You can read the article. You should absolutely subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer joins us every Tuesday at 10:30. Thank you so much, Dan. We will see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dan.
Stick around. We have the top of the hour news coming up when we come back. Trouble for a Little Paper. We'll update you about that. And then we have a comic joining us at 11:30. Going to be a lot of fun. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too. Al-Anon and Alateen can help. Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden on Tuesday called Hamas a bloodthirsty organization whose stated purpose is to kill Jews. Now CBS's Holly Williams has learned gruesome details about an incident in Israel over the weekend.
Israel's body retrieval group confirmed to CBS News that they have discovered beheaded babies and children in the Kfar Aza kibbutz in southern Israel. Some of those small farming communities were the worst hit by Hamas militants, and we are still now discovering the details.
Hamas continues to fire rockets into Israel, but CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb in the Israeli capital says most of the rockets are being shot out of the sky.
Inside Israel, in Tel Aviv, where I am, there's been a number of Hamas rockets that have come this far, most of which have been intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome technology. But in the south, it's a very different situation where Hamas rocket fire, at least in one village, managed to make contact, causing some pretty serious damage.
New York Republican Congressman George Santos has been indicted, said CBS's Erica Brown.
Federal prosecutors charged the congressman with 10 new counts, including conspiracy, falsifying records, identity theft, and credit card fraud, among other charges. Investigators say Santos allegedly led multiple criminal financial schemes.
A woman from Chicago had the experience of a lifetime, but will never learn whether she broke a record in her golden years.
Last week, at 104 years old, Dorothy Hoffner jumped out of a plane in suburban Chicago, saying afterwards,
"It's really a wonderful feeling, just, you know, to see the earth under you. So pretty."
Hoffner has died, found Monday morning, according to her close friend, by staff at her senior living home. Her friend says he's working to ensure the Guinness World Record certifies Hoffner posthumously as the world's oldest skydiver. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
Some parts of the U.S. that are not accustomed to high heat may have to start preparing for it, says CBS's Jim Krasula.
Billions of people could struggle to survive in intense heat and humidity within this century. That's the numbing conclusion of a new study by Purdue and George Mason Universities. Brutally hot weather could include areas such as the Midwest.
A county judge in Oklahoma has exonerated a man who spent 30 years in prison for a 1987 rape and burglary. DNA testing from a rape kit showed that Perry Lott, now 61, did not commit the crime. His conviction has been vacated and the case against him has been permanently dismissed. Lott was released from prison in 2018 after the DNA results first came to light, but only after agreeing to a deal with the DA. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
My name is Jim Conroy, and I am the CEO at Boot Barn. As we celebrate 45 years supporting the Western community, we have been reflecting on the American Cowboys' incredible influence on our nation. Through tenacity and grit, they persevere to keep the cowboy legacy alive while feeding families across the world. It speaks to the strength and spirit of our country, and we are honored to support this proud heritage. Thank you for sharing the West with us for 45 years.
It's been said that you should never say never, but people say it all the time. Never eat 30 minutes before you swim. Never judge a book by its cover. Well, another thing you should never do, never be unsure of your insurance.
And State Farm helps to do just that. You can reach them 24/7, file a claim on the State Farm mobile app, or simply call your agent to ask what's on your mind. So you're never left wondering things like, what if my policy doesn't cover this? Or what if I need to make a claim in the middle of the night?
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth. More Reba.
Winona.
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn.
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn.
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth. More Reba.
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, WisCountry.
Winona.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 52. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 38 tonight. Overcast skies, mainly cloudy, tomorrow 58. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday and Friday. Mid-50s Thursday, low 50s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
You're tuned in to your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Hour 2 on this Tuesday, October 10th. Greg Bach, Soup fan on the board, Dominic Selvia from Devil's Advocates. You can catch him later on today. You've been working a lot, my friend.
Yeah, lots to do.
Along with Mike Crute and my Tuesday co-host for the next couple of months while Kristen is out. I don't mean to, well, yes, okay, I'm going to brag. I met baby Frances on Sunday.
So cute, tiny little peanut,
She is a little bean. She is just a teeny little bean. We're maybe going to see her debut tomorrow. Kristen's going to join us from 10:30 to 11 from home.
Aww.
So I encourage you to watch the live stream that you can do on Twitter, on Facebook, on all the things. And then you can also leave comments if you're watching the stream, in addition to texting us or emailing us or calling us at 844-967-2789.
And those better be nice comments.
About the baby? Oh, yeah. They'll all be nice comments.
Yes, they will.
About little Francis. That will be tomorrow. Coming up at 11:33, we've had him on the show once before.
So looking forward to it.
Yeah, Corey Forrester is a comedian from down south, And he and two of his friends, they call themselves the...
The Redneck Liberals.
The Redneck Liberals.
Nice.
And he and Trey Crowder, who is another comic, wrote a book called Around Here and Over Yonder about some of their travels all over the world. It's available right now on Amazon. So we're going to recheck in with Corey and some of the stories he has in his book.
Awesome.
It's very refreshing to hear his point of view. So
yeah, yeah.
I'll stick around for that. We're going to start things off, though, talking about... This is a local story that I think, unfortunately, because there is always, at least it seems to be, there's always such an avalanche of news that it tends to get pushed aside or, you know, it's not getting enough attention or as much attention as it should deserve. So here's the setup for it. This is from the Cap Times. In August of 2021, the Wausau Pilot and Review, which is a local online publication, reported that Corey Tomchick used a homophobic slur towards a 13-year-old boy at a local government meeting in Marathon County. Now, this was before Tomchick was elected to the Wisconsin Senate. He filed a defamation lawsuit against the Wausau Pilot and Review because he said that that was not true. Now, ultimately, the case was dismissed by Marathon County Circuit Judge Scott Corbett. He dismissed the suit, ruling in favor of the paper's owner and the Wausau Pilot, determined that based on his role in the community, on a local school board, he's a well-known business owner, talking about Corey Tomchick, and as a leader of the regional GOP committee, he did meet the requirements for a limited purpose public figure, and as such would have to prove the pilot published the story with specific malice against him, which his legal team did not meet. Well, what happened next was Tomchick's legal team immediately announced their intention to appeal and filed an appeal brief citing journalistic malpractice by the Pilot and Review. They argue that at the time, Tomchick was a private citizen and there should be granted extra protections. So the paper's owner's legal team now has until November 8th to respond to this appeal. His attorneys are working on the response, but this has cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Legal fees add up really, really quickly. And there is concern that this is merely an effort to kill this publication, just to burden them with so many legal bills that it's going to either kill it or certainly intimidate reporters from doing their jobs and reporting on bad things that elected officials do.
This is what John Oliver covered a couple of years ago. This is a slap suit. That's all this is.
Slap suit.
It's a slap suit.
Which means it is really without merit.
Not without merit and done for malice.
Very, very Trumpian.
Yeah, it is very Trumpian. So since the lawsuit was filed, again, according to the Cap Times, the owner says she and her news outlet have gotten community support, providing reassurance, but also hate mail that shakes her resolve as larger news organizations reduce their staff and cut back on local accountability reporting. That's bad, folks. We need local people on the ground in small communities to keep watch on things. That's why they're there. And I worry that because we got so used to all this free information and now we have to subscribe.
Right.
And everybody's, well, there's no news anyway. There's, you know, nothing is new and nothing happens and it's not worth it. And it is worth it.
These papers are, as we talked about before a couple months ago regarding this story, these papers are popping up in the light of major newspapers cutting resources. And they are more important than ever because they are giving local news to local people about what's going on within blocks of their home.
Yeah.
And they need to be protected and they need to be able to write what they need to write in order to inform the people. If the New York Times isn't going to do it or the Washington Post can't do it. So.
Right. And as the owner says, these are people, the reporters talking about, these are people putting their necks on the line to get out there because they care about their community, not because they're trying to tell some narrative or to push some kind of agenda. Being a reporter is not a sexy job, you guys.
No.
And it's not like it really pays so great that everybody's jumping into this field.
Yeah.
Because it's a tough job. And you I believe reporters do it because they love it and they believe in the importance of the
in
work
the fourth
that they're
estate
doing.
And yes. Reporting the truth and the facts. And if I recall, and I'm looking at different articles, New York Times had a piece about this as well, but apparently several community members present at the meeting also heard Tomchik call this 13-year-old teenager the homophobic slur.
Yes.
So it wasn't, you know, this is
it wasn't, you're
these
right.
are witnesses. These yes. are other people that were in the room that said, hey, this is what he said. And apparently he's admitted in using these kinds of phrases before.
Oh, right. Again, with his brother.
In the past.
That's right. I have a gay brother.
Yes, I have a gay brother.
You know, so you've said it before. Other people heard you say it. It was reported in local news, but now you're all offended because what? People find out that you're using homophobic slurs.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Mark from the SAC. Good morning, Mark. What do you want to say?